Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we got lots to get to. Hey, what happened? It was a second ago, it was snowing outside. Now the sun is out. I can't figure it out. Well, it's supposed to be off and on some flurries today. Nothing will stick. Hey, as I told you months ago, remember the Farmer's Almanac came out and it said this is going to be a brutal winter with tons of snow? And everybody took that seriously. The Farmer's Almanac is always wrong. It has a rate of like something like 97% inaccurate. It is always wrong. So it'll probably be a pretty good winter. Well, obviously we got lots to get to. We'll get to Iran. We'll get to, Fotis Doulis. We'll get to, there's a big lawsuit against CNN that, we'll get to that. The president will address the nation. Actually, it won't be a big address. He'll make a statement at 11 a.m. That's an hour from now. So we'll bring that to you live. It was a pretty interesting night starting at about, I guess it was about 6:30 during some of those cable news shows when they were on live, actually about 6:15 or so. And they broke in with the news that there was missile attacks taking place in Iraq. And as the night went on into Lou Dobbs, into Tucker Carlson, and it started to look pretty serious. These missiles hitting bases with American troops in Iraq. And then as it got to be 10 o'clock, it started to look not so serious. Nobody was hurt. And it turned out they picked two bases in western Iraq that didn't have a lot of Americans. They didn't go to the obvious choices, the bases close to Baghdad filled with Americans. So it became pretty obvious by the end of the night that this was just a fireworks show to save face. You remember when they attacked the oil fields? Those missiles were so pinpoint accurate, they hit exactly right to the inch where they needed to hit and destroyed those oil fields in Saudi Arabia. So this was different. The type of missiles they used were the type that are easily detected. Every warning system went off well in advance. Plenty of time for all American troops to get out and go down and hide in the bomb shelter. Iraq was actually warned by the Iranians ahead of time. So they went out of their way, took every possible step to make sure no American was hurt in the attack. And what does that tell you? Well, it tells you they're afraid of President Trump. If it were Obama, John Kerry, it'd be a different matter. With Obama or John Kerry, they had nothing to worry about. You had a weak America there who was always appeasing, compromising. Beyond compromising, they deliver a couple $1 billion in cash. Here it is on a runway, on a pallet. And they'd been talking to Kerry in recent months. You know, when they say that President Trump was trying to start a war, it was just the opposite. There have been numerous attacks by Iran on our interests in the last year, from tankers to shooting down a drone to the oil fields. I mean, this has been going on, 6 or 7 major incidents. Iran attacking, trying to start something. Now, remember, this whole past year or two, they've been talking to John Kerry. That's who they've been getting their advice from. Think about that. You're getting advice from John Kerry? So they obviously totally misread the situation, completely misread the situation. They were so emboldened by Obama's 8 years and John Kerry's reassurances that besides these attacks, they decided to attack the American embassy in Iraq. And there they were attacking the embassy. They were so emboldened that the terrorist leader, Soleimani, you know, they call him a general, but he's not a traditional general. He's really running a terrorist operation. And he's the most dangerous terrorist ever because he's got an actual army with real serious weaponry. So he's so emboldened. Not only are they attacking the embassy, he flies into Baghdad. He's strutting around the runway, personally supervising this operation. And they realized this is not Obama, Hillary, or Kerry. This is a whole different regime. Remember Joe Pesci when he got to Las Vegas in Casino? Remember the narrator said, and now they realized there was a real gangster in town. You know, everybody started getting shot and beat up. And so it was kind of like that with Donald Trump for Iran, when suddenly Soleimani is blown to pieces on the runway. You know, usually you ride home in a casket on the plane. They took him home in the ashtray on the plane. So I think they realized things were pretty serious. And, you know, you got one good thing about fake news. When they keep running all these stories about Trump is crazy, Trump's going to start a war, Trump will, he's got no discipline. He's out of control. That's pretty good as far as Iran. It scares the hell out of them. So they realized they better not really try anything. So they arranged for, they thought this through, came up with an attack that would look like an attack, but wouldn't do any damage. So nobody was hurt. Again, the president in 45 minutes will speak live and make a statement. And last night, it was people keep thinking this president must address the nation, but they were getting the early intelligence and assessments, and they realized nothing serious had happened. So towards the end of the night, the president put out a tweet. It was a great tweet. It just said, "All is well. I'll make a statement in the morning." In other words, nothing serious. Go to sleep. We'll talk about it tomorrow. So nothing happened. Khomeini made his big speech about how he sent a message. But he used the words done, concluded. So it's definitely over. Hey, the other thing is, if you were in Iran, if you're an Iranian citizen watching the news media in Iran, they kept announcing that 80 Americans had been killed. First, it was 30 Americans dead. Then it was 80 Americans dead. Can you imagine living in a country where they have fake news like that? Yeah, I can't even picture that. So we do have some common ground with Iran. Hey, speaking of which, you remember the kid in the red MAGA hat, the red Keep America Great Again hat, and the old Indian, the world's worst drummer, and he's right in his face. You remember that? And they made it look like the kid was doing something wrong. And the whole news media, CNN, NBC, MSNBC, the Washington Post, all the usual suspects tried to destroy this kid. For days, they played it up as if he had been taunting the Indian, as if he was some sort of racist, awful kid. It's just a teenager. They tried to destroy this kid. And you could have known from the first moment that it wasn't true. They showed the clip of this kid right in the Indian's face. But the second I saw that, the first time I saw that, I went on YouTube. It was like a 20-second video. I immediately went on YouTube to see if I could find the whole thing. And there it was, the whole 30-minute video. And you could see it was just the opposite. The kid was way over there minding his own business. The Indian is the one that accosted him. It was the total opposite of what the news media was saying. And if I could go on YouTube and find that video in a second, they could have too, and I'm sure they did. So it was deliberate fake news. So this kid, Sandman, hired, I can't remember his name now, the great lawyer. He was the great attorney. I think he handled the Richard Jewell case. Brilliant attorney. And the first lawsuit went against CNN. Well, CNN can't possibly defend this lawsuit. There is no defense on earth for what they did. And they took a good look at it and they realized there are absolutely no defense. They would lose in a second. He was suing for $800 million. So CNN yesterday settled out of court. I don't know. Obviously, they'll keep it secret what the settlement was. But if it's an $800 million case, I'd say this kid's over $100 million in the settlement, at least. Maybe $200 million. I'm just guessing, but this is one wealthy kid now. And that's just CNN. Now they'll move on to NBC and the Washington Post, the New York Times, and everywhere else. This kid will be a billionaire before 2020 is over, literally. So will those other kids as well. Now, the other thing about the Iran attack, this really hurts Joe Biden. This is very bad for Biden because the one thing it does do is make foreign policy a major part of the 2020 election. That's where Biden is weak. He is the dumbest guy ever when it comes to foreign policy. He has a long history of being on the wrong side of every foreign policy decision ever. I don't mean 98% of the time. 100% of the time, he was on the wrong side whenever it came to foreign policy. He's the dumbest guy on foreign policy. It's a big problem. Now, for instance, Lester Holt did this interview with him last night. Now, there's nobody more fake news, more biased. Well, maybe Chuck Todd. But Lester Holt is right up there as the most biased partisan guy in the world. So he's trying to help Biden in the interview. But it was a soft interview, very softball interview. We'll go over it in a minute. But even Lester Holt had to say to Biden, you know, you've been on the wrong side of everything. You were for the Iraq War. You were against the Gulf War. You were against killing bin Laden. And not only that, they showed the video where Biden had said, years ago. He admitted he told Obama, you can't kill bin Laden. This is after 9/11. So Biden tried to double talk his way out of it. But now foreign policy is front and center. The worst thing that could have happened. It's a nightmare for Biden. Now, it was, they did ask Biden speaking out about Iran.
The haphazard decision-making process that led up to it, the failure to consult with our allies or Congress, and the reckless...
Now, this is just a guy mumbling things out. Just first of all, we have been consulting with our allies, and maybe not... Well, actually, he has been talking to Congress. Congressman he can trust. Been talking to the Senate, not the House.
We have not heard a sober-minded explanation to reassure the American people that this decision...
And we've heard the explanation 100 times.
Presidential notification of Congress about the need to exercise war powers can...
Again, just double talking. It's got nothing to say on all of this. And I tell you, if you watch that Lester Holt interview, I'm sure it's up online, it was really a gentle, sweet little softball interview. Go back and watch the Lester Holt interviews with Donald Trump where he's all over him like a jackal, cutting him off at every turn, follow-up after follow-up after follow-up question. Watch him with Joe Biden. He's so gentle. I mean, maybe it's because he sees the guy's a frail senior citizen. He might pass out or something. But, for instance, he brings up Hunter Biden, and he said, wouldn't you say that, now looking back, wouldn't you say the optics on that, they weren't good, him having that job? And Biden said, my son did nothing wrong, and I did nothing. And then Lester Holt let it go. Now, if he were a real newsman, and it's not just him. You can Stephanopoulos, Chuck Todd, anybody you can name, MSNBC, CNN, they would have done the same thing. They would have let it go, have been gentle. But a real newsman would have said to Biden, just for the record, what did your kid actually do for this company? How did he get the job? He has no experience in that field. He doesn't even speak Ukrainian. How could he even work with this company? Explain to us how he got the job. You must have talked to him about it. What did he actually do? How often did he go there? Why doesn't he come out and talk more? But none of those sort of questions. Obviously, if we're Republican, that's all it would have been questions like that. So a little gentle, soft little softball from Lester Holt. Hey, we'll get to FOTUS. Doulas, they finally arrested him. How long has it been? 7 months? See the video of the arrest? It's pretty interesting. It's the Connecticut State Police. Now, normally you think state police, you think speeding tickets. That's about all you think. But so they arrest him. You see the woman arresting him, carrying him away, leading him off? Very nice looking, good looking. Looks like a TV, you could see her on CSI, sharp looking. But then they have the people with the press conference, the state police, and it's those people with the Smokey the Bear hats and those forest ranger outfits. I don't get that. You know, if you want to pull people over and give them speeding tickets and look intimidating, you got to get rid of those Smokey the Bear hats and the forest ranger. You look like you're going to climb a tree or something, or you're going bear hunting or something. You know, they should get them regular uniforms. What do they need those hats for? And in the press conference, it looked a little strange, but it looks like they've got him. You know, people are saying, well, why? What took 7 months? Making sure they dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, they got the case nailed down. They arrested the lawyer, too, his original lawyer. They say the lawyer helped dig the grave. Can you imagine that? Having your that's a good lawyer. He'll do anything for you. Imagine having your lawyer dig the grave. You're just talking about digging dirt. That's a guy getting $450 an hour. You have him dig the grave? You'd think you'd hire somebody for a minimum wage to do it. You're paying $450 an hour for a grave digger. Anyway, we'll get to all of this coming up. And as I said, the president will speak live in a little while. We'll bring you that. Howie Carr will be with us a little later. Now, he was at Mar-a-Lago with the president the night of the Soleimani attack. He was there with the president, so I can't wait to hear his story. All of that coming up. Hey, check out the webpage. You know, you saw Quentin Tarantino on the Golden Globes, and I don't know if you saw Brad Pitt talk about how nuts Quentin Tarantino is. Watch this video. This Quentin Tarantino, it's in the morning, goes to Starbucks, he comes out, and a guy's trying to take his picture or video. Watch Quentin Tarantino go nuts and punch the guy. He's just crazy. And then watch this. This is the Democratic candidates having a secret meeting. Also, hey, watch this. What is he thinking? This is Harvey Weinstein. He goes out in public to a comedy club. Watch him get confronted by a bunch of women. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
What? Now you can catch up with what you missed from Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mark Simone.
On the voice of New York.
710WOR.
Well, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Also later today, the governor makes his State of the State address. He should do it with a U-Haul in the background. You know, he is the number one salesman for U-Haul. More people leaving New York State than any other state in the country. We now lead in two things. We're number one, homeless people and people leaving the state, people fleeing. Nothing to be proud of. It's not just him. You got both houses of the legislature now Democratic. That's why you're getting these crazy, ridiculous laws about the no bail, release all, everybody from Rikers, all this crazy stuff. The city has become a homeless camp. The subways are now basically dormant people. So we'll see what he has to say later today. Anyway, let's go to Danny in Long Island. Hey, Danny.
Great morning, Mark. If you're Nancy Pelosi, please lay on an extra layer of that Polident because the president won again. You all made a big deal. You said he was starting World War III. Now they lobbed 12 missiles into the desert, and now he's going to make a speech and appeal like God.
Let's just be careful now. We're hoping this is the end of it, but probably is. Hey, also, you had that jet airliner crash. It was taken off from Tehran Airport. A lot of people on it. It looks like everybody's dead. The passengers are mostly Ukrainian, Iranian. There were no Americans on it. Some just wondering if all the missile shenanigans going on with Iraq accidentally knocked that plane down. We don't know yet, and we'll probably never know because they're not very transparent over there, obviously. Let's go to Dave, Long Island. Hey, Dave.
Yeah, hey, hey, Mark. Yes. You know, talking about how dumb Joe Biden is. Do you remember the time, you know, as vice president, he was campaigning with Hillary, and I couldn't believe my ears. He turns around, he says, "Yeah, you see this guy? He holds the nuclear."
Oh, the football, yeah. Yeah, you know, the president of the United States has there's a case called the football. It's all the nuclear codes. In case of,
and he points the guy out.
Yeah, in case of nuclear attack, this guy, you could, where if the president were out somewhere speaking or doing something, this guy has the nuclear codes, everything, and it could launch the nuclear attack or respond to one. That case is very important. There's a guy whose only job is to carry that and to be close to the president. It's called the football. The vice president has one, is in case anything happens. The president, vice president has one. It's obviously a top secret thing. So Biden is speaking in front of a huge audience, and he points to the guy over in the corner. See that guy? The football. That's how important I am. There it is, right over there. It's the last thing you're supposed to do. Let's go to Vincent in Brooklyn. Hey, Vincent.
Good morning, Mark. Under some circumstances, the draft or selective service is not a bad thing. I was called up during the early 60s.
Really? By our side?
Yes, indeed. And just because when you were 18 back then, you had to go sign up for selective service. That did not mean you were going to get drafted. But the service was very good for a lot of people because a lot of guys who were snotty, who didn't have no direction,
yeah,
when they went into service, they got direction, like in the movie An Officer and a Gentleman, when Lou Gossett had his boot up you-know-where,
yeah.
A lot of those guys came out of the service.
Well, look what it did for you. It set you on the right path for the rest of your life.
Well, yeah, that's where I learned how to shoot.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I'm sure you would have picked it up anyway. So you're like De Niro in The Irishman. That's where he learned how to
No, but it's not necessarily a bad, and I was called up and everything, but it didn't necessarily mean that you were going to go on the front line or you're going to go in a war zone. There were a lot of support positions, you know.
Well, you were in the support position, running the crap game, right?
Well, running the crap game or running, you know, selling the contraband booze and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you need a guy for that. All right, Sergeant Bilko. So,
you know, that's a trade that you could take outside of the service to make
you
a
did.
Living on.
Gambling, booze, it was perfect for you.
Exactly, you know, but also a lot of people then with the GI Bill, they were able to go to school, buy a house, get a home loan. But I knew a lot of guys who in Nam, they were cooks cooking that garbage. And when they came home, they got money from the government, and they went to a real cooking school, and now they're in these dumps in Manhattan.
There you were, explaining to the Viet Cong what these dice were for and how you used them.
Well, what the dice was for is then, you know, who won the crap game was able to, you know, pick out the best broads and everything.
Hey, now, Vincent, please, it's 2020.
This is a family show, right?
Broads
so
anymore.
We don't want to go there.
Women, not broads.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to defend Rose McGowan.
Yeah, all right. Well, Vincent, thanks for calling. the draft, you know, the great thing, everybody should be in the military. Nothing will straighten you out more, build character, teach you discipline than being in the military. It's a great thing. If everybody did it, you'd have a much, much better people in the workforce everywhere. But we can't have a draft anymore. There's never going to be a draft, as the last few secretaries of defense have explained. The military is so high tech right now. You don't need draftees. It's not like the old days where you just needed thousands of guys to hold a rifle. It's super high tech. Just what's in a helmet now. There's so much technology in there. It takes too long to train people. Draftees, it'd be to churn them in and out. So there's no draft, no chance of a draft. Don't worry about it. Let's go to Perry in West New York. Hey, Perry.
Good morning, Mark. I'm not understanding. Why is it that we try to kill President Saddam Hussein, but we can't kill this general? And
well, we did kill him.
Well, you did. I understand. Yeah. But then all Afghanistan had to do was say General Osama bin Laden, and Obama couldn't have killed him.
Well, yeah, no, listen, this guy wasn't, they called him a general, but he was really a terrorist. You know, what happens is they get used to Obama, Kerry, Hillary, weakness, appeasement. They know they can do whatever they want. Nothing's going to happen. But you had Bush, George W. Bush, you know, whether the Iraq War was right or wrong, he was pretty tough. He let the world know he wasn't afraid to pull the trigger, go in there. And if you're the leader of Iran right now, if you're the leader, I don't care how tough you think you are or how much military you think you got or how many terrorists you think you could send out, you know that Saddam Hussein had exactly the same thing. And that moment where they found him in that rat hole, what'd they call that? That spider hole or whatever? Remember when they pulled him out of there? And he looked like the abominable snowman or whatever the hell he was. He just looked like horrifying. Looked like he'd been through hell. When they pulled him out of that hole and you saw his face, don't think if you're the leader of Iran, I don't care how nice your palace is, you remember that picture and you know the U.S. could put you in that hole. And you got it pretty good. You got a palace. You got an army. You don't want to be hiding in that hole and have some U.S. soldiers pull you out. So don't think the leader of Iran didn't have that picture in his mind when he decided what type of attack to launch. Hey, when we come back, Howie Carr will be with us. He was with the president when the president made the decision to assassinate or kill Soleimani. He was there that night at Mar-a-Lago. We'll talk to him about that next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Noam.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone, 710 WOR.
Well, Howie Carr, one of the great talk show hosts in America, best-selling author. His columns are excellent, his books, his podcast. You can get everything at HowieCarrShow.com, HowieCarrShow.com. Howie Carr, how you doing?
Very good. I'm waiting for the president's speech with bated breath like everybody else at 11 o'clock.
Now, this is interesting. The night of the Soleimani attack, you were there at Mar-a-Lago waiting for the president to come to the dining room.
Right, right. I just happened to, I'm a member there, so I happened to be there, Mark. And, you know, you never know if he's coming down or not. And we had some guests with us, and we were sitting near the stairs to his living quarters upstairs at Mar-a-Lago. And I told him, I said, usually comes down, he makes the perimeter of the dining area, and then comes to sit at his table. But This night, it was about 8 o'clock. He comes down the stairs with some people, and then he immediately takes a right into a room, which I'm assuming is a was a secure communications area.
Yeah.
And just to be briefed on what's going on. And then he comes out after about 15, 20 minutes, goes and sits down. There's only two people, him and Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, Congressman from California. And they just they sat there, and you know, and then when I was leaving, he saw me, waved, and called me over and introduced me to McCarthy. Said nothing about what was going on. I didn't expect him to, you know, be, you know, giddy or anything like that. But it was just a normal conversation. You know, we were talking about who would be a tougher opponent for him, Bernie or Biden, and you know, he was asking me about Elizabeth Warren, what happened to her, and. You know, I mean, it was just, he was totally, as I said in my column, calm, cool, and collected. And I got back to my place here in Palm Beach and turned on the TV, and I saw what had happened. And you know what, Mark, I felt reassured that he was that, that it was that placid. You know, that none of this, you know, 7 days in May, Dr. Strangelove type apocalyptic Hollywood movie stuff, you know? Uh-huh.
Well, you know the guy. He's not a guy that gets flustered.
No, I know. I know. He doesn't get flustered. But this was a biggie, you know. I mean, this was a major league terrorist that they took out. This guy had been operating with impunity for all these years, and it looks like it was a big game changer. You know, I mean, this whole response last night was. Kind of pitiful on their parts. They launched 15, 20 missiles, and four of them didn't even go off. It looks like the biggest casualty was this Ukrainian commercial airliner. You know, that mysteriously went down, 170 people dead, and there's already speculation that the Iranian anti-aircraft fire was so so incompetent they took out this commercial airliner, killed all these people, innocent souls.
I'd say totally. There's a pretty good chance that's what happened.
Right, and, right. You know, another thing too, Mark. Did you notice there've been some quote unquote earthquakes near some of the Iranian nuclear facilities?
Yeah,
I know there are a lot of fault lines over there, but still, what a coincidence, huh?
And we'll never know what happened to that plane because it's not like they have FAA inspectors that spend 2 weeks over there looking through roads.
No, you know, they it went down, I guess, at dawn at the Iranian time, and they immediately announced it was technical difficulties. Well, you know, if you get a missile fired at the airline, you know, when you're 35,000 feet in the air, yeah, I guess you do have technical difficulties. You're right, though. We'll never know. It's everybody is ordering their commercial airliners to stay out of the skies in that area for obvious reasons. It's unfortunate that this happened, but looks like that's the biggest casualties of last night.
Now, Howie Carr, you are the John Kerry expert of the world. Iran has been relying pretty much on John Kerry for advice over the last few months. What do you think he was telling them?
I think I don't think there's any secret what he was telling them, Mark. He's been saying, just hang on and, you know, just go on CNN and MSNBC and you see how everybody in America hates this guy. He's going to be defeated in a landslide. So you just have to hang on and we'll get back to appeasing the mad mullahs in January of 2021. Look, this is what he did when he was just back from Vietnam. Did you know he was in Vietnam? It's, you know, he tries to keep it a secret. He gets back and he's still on you know, active duty in a way. I think he was stationed in New York. He flies over to the Paris peace talks in his dress whites, his naval uniform, and starts negotiating with the North Vietnamese. This is 1973. You know, so what goes around comes around. You know, he's doing exactly what he did at the dawn of his squalid, tawdry career. You know, and as Trump said, you know, they want to prosecute anybody for violating the Logan Act. It's this guy.
Hey,
you know? Obviously they're not going to, but how ridiculous is this?
Howie Carr, did you see there was a great piece in the Wall Street Journal yesterday by Greg Kelly and a woman who was a Marine, breaking down Pete Buttigieg, how he embellishes and exaggerates his military service, and how he's the new John Kerry. What do you think about that?
Right. Well, I don't think he's John Kerry. I don't think he ever claimed he was in combat. But I mean, yeah, he apparently got the same kind of deal that other political figures have gotten, like, for instance, Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
You know, he not that he's a coke addict or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, Hunter Biden, Reince Priebus was another one. He went in, I think, at the age of 46 and got a commission without going through basic training or anything like that. And if you want to go further back, Gary Hart, remember him? Gary Hart. He was another guy who, as a middle-aged, joined the military. And, yeah, I mean, it seems like the guy's a bit of a phony in a number of different ways. You know, I mean, he's so religious, and yet he wants to, have basically post-birth abortions, you know. And I just, I don't know. He doesn't do a lot for me. I'm surprised he's hanging in there as strong as he is in Iowa. But again, I think it just reflects the weakness. I mean, he's the only one of the top four who's under the age of 70.
That's true. I never thought about that. So hey, you can go to HowieCarshow.com. You got a lot of good stuff there. You can get great books you got the podcast, yeah. Right? Dirty Rats.
Yeah, we got the Proud to Be Deplorable T-shirts. That's a really good deal, and you get the book about the campaign, which Trump loves. He's tweeted about it three times. You get both of them still for $19.99. It's a good deal, and all kinds of mob books. Just go to HowieCarshow.com, click on store. There's a lot of good deals available still. Post Christmas, it's our January. You know how it goes, Mark. First you have holiday sales, then you have January blowout, right?
Well, and get his columns and the radio show. Just go to HowieCarshow.com. There's great stuff there.
Yeah, you listen to my radio show on the iHeart app. If you're listening to Mark on the iHeart app, just listen to me on the iHeart app in the afternoon, because I'm on the iHeart various iHeart stations.
Oh, great! And well, Howie Carr, as always, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Right. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Take care. Again, the president will speak live. He will address the nation. We'll bring it to you. This is working out perfectly. He'll speak at 11. Now, you know that always means like 11:05 he'll start. This is perfect because that's the time. It's at that moment, that's the time where I got to talk for 20 minutes. So this is perfect. I won't have to talk. He'll do it, and we'll bring it to you live here. Hey, check out the webpage. There's a lot of good stuff up there. Watch this. This is, Quentin Tarantino, totally nuts. You saw the speech at the Golden Globes. The guy's just crazy. Watch this. He's coming out of Starbucks early in the morning, and there's a fan there taking this picture, taking a video. Watch him go nuts and punch the guy. He's just crazy. And we'll also take a look at this video. Here's the Democratic candidates having a secret meeting. And then watch this. This is real. This is, what is he thinking? This is Harvey Weinstein. He goes out in public as if nothing's wrong, and he goes to a comedy club. Watch these angry women confront him. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.